سبحان الله، نعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله حكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. Before I start, my friends, brothers and sisters, please, if you all can move more this way, there's a lot of room here and there are still people coming, so
let this one be started.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The mission of Hussein, knowing Imam Hussein, is a research that for the last 1400 years we have been trying to take the lessons and the ibrat from the message of Imam Hussein in order to learn. Inshallah, few of those things that I mentioned yesterday I will reiterate it today, and inshallah with that we will see some of the lessons that we can learn from that and end the program and the series of lectures. Question that was asked yesterday is, what is Arba'een? Why do we do Arba'een? Arba'een was a custom amongst the Arabs that after a person dies, you remember him 40 days after his death. The fact is that when you lose someone who's close to you, when you lose someone who's in your house, your family, relative, you see that at the time of the loss, because of the emotions that we have, we are not able to correctly understand and analyze the loss of the person. What does that actually mean? We lost someone. We see, at the time of death, we are told to hurry up, bury him or her. And so we take the time, get ready, and then it's over. He's buried. We never have the time to think. We never have the time to analyze the loss, to see what death means. What is the meaning of death? And then you see that it's only afterwards, after we put the dead person in the ground, we start to feel his loss. We start to understand what it means. We start to analyze what death is. And hence, it is said that 40 days after that, when the emotions are finished, now go back and think about the dead person. Now think about him and now try to see what it means, what the loss is, so that this sort of loss can be analyzed not through the emotions but through the intelligence, and to see that what happened. And in the case of, for example, a'imma and the imams, We see that the Arba'in of the Imam Hussein is done, right? Because you see on Ashura, there is that emotion that comes. Because it's the day Imam Hussein died, and everyone's emotional. But this Arba'in is kept. And here it is mentioned that Ziyarat-e-Ashura, even though it's mustahab, recommended, but the sign of a Shia and a Mu'min is Ziyarat-e-Arba'in. Ziyarat-e-Arba'in is the sign of a Mu'min. Because only the Shia now, he remembers Imam Hussein 40 days later in order to comprehend and understand the mission of Imam Hussein and learn lessons from Ashura. And hence this Arba'in has been emphasized for us through Ahlul Bayt, and they have wanted us to revive Arba'in of Hussein and make this a way that we will be able to learn the lessons from Ashura. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala So in learning the lessons of Imam Hussein, we said that really this mourning that we have, this azah that we have, this crying that we do of Imam Hussein, the root and the real reason for the crying is not for the, you know, beheading or the thirst. Yes, these are all those emotional elements, the atrocious elements that were present in Karbala. But the true reason why a mu'min cries, the true ma'rifat he has of Imam Hussein, is that it is the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt that he is crying for. The wilayat that was taken away, the loss of that wilayat he is crying for. And hence, when we learn the lessons, there are two types of lessons. There are certain lessons that are called ibrat, and there are certain lessons that are dars. And these are different lessons. Ibrat, when you say ibrat, is a lesson, it's a different type of lesson. Ibrat means that you learn something from history that you should not do. That's the meaning of ibrat. When you say, you know, that we need to learn ibrat from this, it means that it's a lesson that we should not do. That's ibrat. Dars is what? It's a lesson from history that we should do and we should try to accomplish. So both these things, ibrat and dars, are things that we learn from history of Ashura. Now when we went through those history, when we saw that history, we will see that in looking at the history, we learn about the ibrats, those lessons that we should avoid. And when we look at those lessons, we see that most of the lessons, alhamdulillah, looking at the mu'mineen today, looking after all these years of learning and loving Imam Hussein and gaining the ma'rifat of Hussein and doing the ma'atam for Hussein, I think we have passed many of those lessons. Really, I think we have passed those lessons. If we want to go back, as I said, if we want to help, or if we want to learn the lessons of Karbala, we need to look at the factors and the reasons that led to Karbala. When we look at those reasons that led to Karbala, we will see that many of those lessons We have learned. Alhamdulillah, I think if you even look at those things deeply within yourself, you can truly say to yourself that no, I would not do those things. For example, I said, you know, okay, when we look at the factors that led to Karbala, you need to look at, for example, Imam Hassan, you know, and the grief that he went through. You need to look at Imam Ali and the grief that he went through at the hands of people. Now, when you look at those things, and then when you go backwards also to Fatima, and then to the Prophet himself, would we do those things that gave grief to the Imams? These are the ibrat of Karbala. What are the lessons of Karbala? Look back and see what is the grief that was given to Imam Hassan. What is the grief that was given to Imam Ali? What was the grief that was given to Fatima and to the Prophet? And then look at those things, and then when we learn those things, then look at yourself and see, would I do that? Would we as a community allow that to happen? And I'll give you those things and we'll go backwards together today. For example, when we go to, let's say, Imam Hassan, and what happened in Imam Hassan's time? Muawiyah has his agents in the camp of Imam Hassan, and he is offering sacks of money in front of their eyes, gold coins, and they are shiny gold coins, and he is offering it to the Shia of Imam Hassan. He says, listen, take it, and you don't have to do much, just leave your Imam. Just leave your Imam. Right? I mean, just leave him there. There are many others who will fight. And you see what happened? Is that those people, they took it and they left. Now, if Imam Hassan was alive today, if Imam Hassan is alive today, and we are in his army, and we see that the enemies, they're offering us money. Really, do you think that Mu'mineen today, with all the lessons they learned from Karbala, will say that, oh, you know what, let's take the money and run? I think we have passed that lesson. Right? I think we have passed that lesson. You know, I mean, you know, it's very far-fetched that Mu'mineen who understand Hussein and who have learn through Karbala and have the Marifat of Hussein will now take the coins of Muawiyah and leave their Imam. Right? It's very far-fetched, but this is a lesson we need to learn from. This is the Ibrat of Karbala. You want to learn the Ibrat of Karbala? Know this. If anyone is doing that, it means he hasn't learned from Karbala yet. He hasn't learned from Karbala yet. I think we passed that. But inshallah, let's go backwards and see some more lessons that we can learn. We went to Imam, for example, Ali alayhi salam, and we see his time. Salawat ala Muhammad. Now in his time, he was faced with different challenges that gave him much grief. So much grief that Imam Ali was really hard-pressed. You know, how much hard-pressed he was, where he couldn't even talk clearly to anyone because everyone around him had so much animosity there. Now when we look at this, who are these people? Okay, you know, you had the people of Nahrawan, Khawarij, the Khariji, right? Now these people, what was their beef? These Khawarij, they came to Ali and said, Ali, listen, you know, okay, we understood we made a mistake. You know, that we were deceived by Muawiyah and Amr ibn As, so we are wrong. Right? And what you said was right. Right? That, you know what, you know, we should have listened to you, but okay, we were deceived, so we are wrong. Okay? So, you know, they're wrong. But then the added thing that they wanted from Ali, okay, we are wrong, But they told Ali, you're also wrong. Why am I wrong? You're wrong because you listen to us. You're wrong because you listened. Why did you listen to us? If you were the rightfully guided Khalifa and the Imam of the time and you know Ilm al-Ghaib and all that, it means that you shouldn't have listened to us. You imposed yourself on me. You imposed yourself on me. Doesn't matter. You still listen to us. It means you're wrong also. So you do tawbah also with us. Let's do tawbah together. Understand this, my friends. You see, people don't understand what wilayat is. As I told you before in the speeches, imams never impose themselves on the people. They never impose themselves on the people. They never force themselves on the people. That I'm the imam and you know I'll tell you what to do and you do it. No, they never did that. If the people agree to it, they will lead them. But then when you saw that the people are imposing themselves on the people, on the imam. If the people are imposing themselves on the imam, then the imams would be backed up. Okay, I'm not going to force myself. I'm not going to kill anyone for this. This is not worth killing for. So imam backed off. So why should he do tawbah? You should do tawbah. Now, looking at that time, looking at those people and what they said, now when we look at ourselves, tell me, my friends, if we were there, and this is why I find it far-fetched, if mu'mineen were there who are post-Karbala and post-Imam Hussein, who learned the lessons of Karbala and are the Shia of Hussein, would they stand up against Ali and impose themselves on Ali? I mean, would we do that? Ali, you know, I mean, we think you're wrong and we are going to make sure that this happens. I think it's very far-fetched that we will do that. Very far-fetched that we will do that. My friend, understand, this is the lesson of Karbala. You want to learn from Imam Hussain? This is what you need to learn. No, we will not do that. Why would we do that? No. If Imam is there, we would stand under him and say, Imam, whatever you say. And if there are people who come and oppose the Imam, we will be opposing those people. Are we doing that? My friends, when we look at that, you will see that just like that, we have to work with Imam Hussain, that those people, how they dealt with the imams, we need to see ourselves in relationship to the imam of our time. If the imam comes back, would I buy the coins of Muawiyah? Would I take the coins of Muawiyah? Would I stand up in opposing him? Well, I won't. I mean, this is what we need to learn. Right? This is what we need to learn. Now, when you see Muawiyah and the people of Siffin, and their whole dealing with Ali was deception and tricks. Would we be fooled by their tricks? Would we be fooled by their tricks? When the Imam is saying something, would we leave the words of the Imam, stop trusting him, and trust what Muawiyah and Amr ibn As are saying? I mean, Imam asked us, for example, Imam Ali, he told his people to encamp right here, next to the river. Next to the river. And Muawiyah and Amr ibn As, they spread a rumor that they're going to change the direction of the river and it's going to go and flood the camp and everyone will die. And the people in the camp of Imam Ali, instead of listening to Ali, now they started arguing, said, listen, they're changing the direction of the river and it's going to go over us by night. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're going to change the what? Direction of the river? It can't happen. No, they have promised it's going to happen. They left the camp. They left the camp. Now, then you tell me, if we were there in their place, Would we listen to those tricks? Obviously, I mean, here those tricks change. In those days, it was the river, you know, that changed the plan. Nowadays, it's the Twin Tower and the bombing and all that, you know. But the tricks are the same, right? Just the words are different. Now you tell me, are we going to be taken by those tricks and say, oh, you know what, this is what's happening? Tell me. This is what we need to understand. If we are learning from Karbala, then these are the lessons to learn from Karbala. This is the ibrah to gain from Karbala. No, we will not listen to your tricks. No, of course not, we will listen to your tricks. You know, they send out a movie, you know. And this movie, you know, we used to see a lot of times. And its ending always changed every few years. Right? It's a film that's called Nostradamus. Nostradamus is this movie about a French guy who's to prophesy things. And, you know, so they, you know, they'll give you about 8-10, you know, prophecies. Oh, he did see that, he said that, he said that, he said that. And at the end, they would say that his last prophecy is that there's going to be a war between the Arabs and the Christians. And what happens at the end? The Christians are going to defeat the Arabs, and then there will be world peace. You know, so for us, you know, who are listening to this, you know, we're looking into that and say that, okay, wait a minute, let's see this now. Alright? Now, this is the, you know, a really effective way of making things work. Shaitan has used this for the longest time, and advertisements are using it today, you know, to sell their stuff. Right? You make the people say yes, yes, yes so many times that it's hard for them to say no to anything you say. So yes, look at that, yes, look at that, yes, look at that, yes, look at that, yes. And then they'll say something stupid, look at that, and they'll, yes. You know. Wait a minute. You see, we need to, if we learn the lessons of Karbala, then we need to be aware of these tricks that are being thrown at us. Like the people of Muawiyah and Amr ibn As, they threw those. Are we going to do that? See, this is what we need to learn from Karbala. If you want to make sure Karbala doesn't happen. If you want to learn the lessons of Karbala. This is what we need to learn. If you look at the people of Jamal, Talha and Zubair. Friends, Zubair was not someone normal or ordinary. You know who Zubair was? You know, Zubair was one of those people that when everyone ran away from the battlefield of Uhud, when everyone ran away from the battlefield of Uhud and Imam Ali remained behind, Zubair was one of those people who stayed with Ali and fought. That was Zubair. Who was Zubair? Zubair, when the Munafiqeen they converged on the house of Fatima, he was at her door defending her house. That was Zubair. You know, and now when you look at Zubair, he came out to fight against Ali. I mean, obviously, you know, to see a person like that, and you see that all that background and this and that, again, see, this is where it comes. Now let me again ask you all, Mu'mineen, inshallah, to move forward. There's lack of room in the back and everyone's trying to find room. So please, inshallah, we have lots of room here, Kiro. Salawat. You know, Zubair, do you really think that we will have, you know, for example, that we would be like Zubair, who after all our lives spending ourselves for Imam Hussein and being at the places which require courage and then leaving Hussein and leaving Imam-e-Zamana at the end? I mean, it doesn't matter how much you have given for Islam, how much you have done for Islam, it doesn't matter. What are you doing now and what will you do at the time you die? That's what matters. That's what matters. Looking at the example of Zubair, we see that yes, he has done so much. He was there so many places. And when we look at that, we say, Alhamdulillah, you know, meaning he must be. But what happened at the end? He fought against his imam. And all of that in the past went to waste. See, for a lot of things we need to understand this. This is why many fitna happen. Many people are confused. When you hear about individuals, for example, an easy example is the Green Movement, Musavi. What happened? Oh, you were so good in this and that, but what happened? It doesn't matter how good you were, Zubair was good. What are you now? That's what matters. What are you now? You standing up against Islam? You're standing up against your leader? You're finished. You're finished. It's over. You know, all those people who did so much good, what happened to those people? You know how many slaves Abu Bakr freed? No one would free the Muslim slaves. Abu Bakr did that. Abu Bakr, he freed the slaves. He brought them to Islam. And there was no hope of Islam also. Don't think there was hope of Islam. There was no hope of Islam there, of ever growing. No, he just bought those slaves, freed them, Bilal and others of that type, Khabbab and other ones. He freed them. So what happened? Oh, he did so much good. See, again, doesn't matter how good you are. The issue is we lived our lives for Imam Hussein. We cried for Hussein every Ashura. We mourned for Hussein. Arbaeen, we mourned for Hussein. We grew up loving Imam Hussein. But if at the end we end up fighting the Imam over time, then what's the use? So what's the lesson of Karbala? Don't be Zubair. Don't be a Zubair. That's the lesson of Karbala. That's what you need to learn from Karbala. Now we go backwards. Let's go backwards. We can go backwards now. Fatima. Salawat alaikum. Now what happened to her? You know? She lived in a society in Medina. The town that welcomed Rasulullah. She lived there. Her situation was such that after the Prophet's death and when she mourned for her father, you know, Fatima, how many doors did she knock and the people did not answer? You know how many doors she went to and knocked on the doors to tell them about what's going on? She was the voice of Imam Ali. She went to the homes and knocked, and they would not open their doors to let Fatima in. I think it's far-fetched for me to think that we, who know Imam Hussein, who have the Marifat Hussein, would do that to Fatima. You know, let alone her knocking. We would not allow her to even come to our door and knock on our door. I mean, if we were in Medina, I mean, just imagine if Fatima lived in our town. If she was present in our town, how would we treat her? The people of Medina left her alone. They were cowards. They left her alone. Do you really think that you will act like the people of Medina if Fatima was in your town? If she lived in your town? If this was happening to her, would you allow that to happen? I don't think so. Really, I think it's far-fetched for us, knowing mu'mineen, and it's not because we are that good, my friend. It's not because we are good. It's because the aza and azadari of Hussein has made us that well, that good. It has trained us that way. Imam Hussein's mourning has trained us to be that good, that we don't let those things happen that happened to Fatima. We don't let those things happen that happened to Imam Ali. Really, look at those people and look at us, my friends, and then see how Karbala has trained us and the lessons it gave to us so that we grow up. Look at those people there in Medina who left Fatima, who came to Ali and said, Ali, either tell Fatima to cry in the day or night, but don't cry both in the day or night because we can't sleep. Would we do that? I mean, really, imagine this. I mean, see the things that we have learned, my friends, from Imam Hussein. We have already learned from Hussein. We will not do that. We will be like, no, not even that. Even if she wants to go from one house to the other, we will say, no, we will make the arrangements. Friend, we will be that concerned about her izzat and honor. Imagine that. To us, if Fatima was even, if something that belonged to Fatima we found in our city, imagine what we will feel. Just you have the majlis here for Fatima and you see everyone is coming here. She's not here. I mean, she herself and this and that physically is not here, but just the fact that she will come, even in a spiritual state, we are ready to be there for her, to welcome her. Now imagine, how can we be like the people of Medina who would leave her alone and he would leave her stranded? We will not do that. These are the lessons to learn. These are the lessons to learn from Karbala. Because this is what led to Karbala. Go back to Rasulullah and you'll see yourself there, Rasulullah. These companions of Rasulullah, when there used to be a war or a battle, they used to fight over the remains in the battlefield. The war, the loot, the war booty. Right? They fight over the war booty. They're standing there, Rasulullah, they say, I want that, I want this, I want that. Really, my friends, tell me, do you think that you are that type that you will fight in front of Rasulullah and say, Rasulullah, I want that piece right there? Yeah, in our time you'll say, hey, I want the Benz, you know, I want the BMW. Do you really think that you would do such a thing? Friends, I want us to understand what we learned from Karbala. These are the ibrat we learned from Karbala, not the dars. I haven't even gone to the dars yet. This is the ibrat we learned from Karbala, what we should not be. And alhamdulillah, I think we are doing a good job of that. We have improved very much on that side. When it comes to ibrat, I think we have improved very much as a community, as a society, as a Shia ummah, we have improved very much. That more or less, we really don't have to be scared that we will be acting like that, like the people of Medina or the people of Kufa. I think we are better than that now after what Imam Hussein has given us, after what Ashura has given us. Now let's go to the dars and see, have we learned the dars now from Karbala? Yes, we have learned the lessons how we should not be, but have we learned how we should be? What are those lessons? Let me tell you those lessons so you know what lessons to be learned from Karbala. What is it that is expected of us? Really, what is it that's expected of us? So this is where I want everyone to know, what is it that is expected of you in relationship to Imam Zaman that he is expecting you to be? What are the things that he wants you to be? This is what we learn in Karbala. Let me just give a few of those if you send me a salawat. You know, Imam Hussein, when he went to his companions and spoke to them on the night of Ashura. On the eve of Ashura, he spoke to them. And after speaking to them, after he spoke to them, he said that, alright, I have spoken to you, said what I needed to say, heard what I have to hear. Now it is time for me to meet my family, to meet Zainab. So he walked back and he walked towards the tent of Zainab. You know, he walked towards the tent of Zainab, and he went inside the tent. Said, "Assalamu alaikum." He went inside the tent. Zainab was there, and she asked him, "Brother, have you met your companions?" And he said, "Yes, I have." And then there's a question she asked him. This is Zainab now. She's asking this question, and I want you to reflect on this question about yourself in relationship to the Imam. You see, these are the lessons to learn from Karbala. She asked him a question and said, "Brother, are you mutmain and sure about them? Are you sure that they will not run away from you? That they will stand with you?" Imam Hussein obviously said, "Yes, of course, they are the best companions that anyone had." He reassured her. But Hilal, one of the companions of Imam Hussein, heard the remark of Zainab, and he started to shake. He went back to Habib ibn Mazhar. He says, "Habib, the ladies, the family, the children of Hussein are not..." Ask him to come back. Don't open it. We haven't reached there yet. Open the light. Salawat. Hilal went to Habib and said, "Habib, the family and children are not sure about us. They're not satisfied with us. They still have doubts about us. They still have that lingering doubt in their heart whether we are going to stand or whether we are going to run. They have that doubt." He gathered all the companions. They all gathered. Habib, everyone gathered the companions. They said, come. We need to give this satisfaction to Ahlul Bayt that we will not run from them, that we can show our loyalty and faith. They have doubt about our faithfulness, about our loyalty. We are going to go there and we will tell them." Some of the Ahlul Bayt children, they also got there. He said, "No, children, you go away. You stand away, you go and sit there. This is on us. This is about our loyalty that's in question. We are going to prove our loyalty." And they came behind the tent of Zainab. Hussein was inside the tent. And they said, "Assalamu alaykum, ya Aba Abdullah." Hussein replied back. He said, "Yes, I just spoke to you. Why are you all here?" He came out, he saw them behind the tent of Zainab. And said, "Hussein, we are here to show your Ahlul Bayt our loyalty and our faithfulness, that we will not run away. You want to tell them that? We want to speak to Zainab. We want to speak to Zainab." And they called Zainab and they asked her to get all the other ladies and children that they could listen also. All of them gathered in the tent, and they were behind the tent, and they spoke from behind the tent. I want to say something here so you understand this, my friends. You know, this is the last time that Zainab was spoken to from behind the tent. This is the last time that Zainab was spoken to from behind the tent. You know that? No, we haven't reached the Messiah. Don't worry, inshallah, I will reach there. Right? I want to learn lessons because the lessons of Karbala are in the Messiah. I will get to the Messiah of Arba'in, inshallah. The lessons of Karbala are in Messiah. Go. And then they started to say that you are worried about the fact that we will leave your brother. Let us tell you. And they gave their proof of loyalty. And they said that if each of them spoke out, and they said, if I die 70 times, if I'm brought back, I will give you this. So much that they spoke to the children and to the ladies, that those children finally had a smile on their face. They had a smile on their face that, okay, these people are certain, these people are sure, these people have given us the satisfaction. My friends, understand this. This is the first lesson of Karbala. If you want, you see, from that side you're good, from the enemy side, that you won't be like the enemies. But are you good on this side also, that have you proven your loyalty to your Imam? Have you proven your loyalty to the Imam and said, Imam, I will not run away. I will stay loyal. I am faithful. This is the lesson, my friends. How loyal are you to them? How much have you made them realize that, yes, I'm loyal to you, I will not run away from you. Yes, I won't be like Khurmala, I won't be like Umar ibn Sa'd, I won't be like the people of Medina, that's good. But have you also given that certainty to Ahlul Bayt now? To the Imam of your time? You see, this is where you need to learn the lesson. This is the lesson that you need to learn. Am I good enough? Am I that loyal? Am I that faithful? Give that certainty to your Imam. Imam, I am faithful. I will not run away. You can tell Zainab that we will not run away, that we will stand with her brother. You can tell your aunt Zainab that we will stand there for her. My friends, this is that loyalty. This is the first thing, faithfulness, loyalty. Are you going to be loyal to Ahlul Bayt? This is the lesson to be learned. What have you learned from Abbas? What are the lessons you have learned from Abbas? Abul Fazl Abbas. Have you learned the lessons of Abul Fazl Abbas? You know, my friends, loyalty is the first lesson. Do you have a feeling of shame in front of Hussein? Do you feel ashamed if you will stand in front of Hussein? That Hussein, I haven't done much. I haven't done as much as I should. Do you feel ashamed? My friends, if you do feel ashamed, then don't be surprised. Everyone in Karbala was ashamed of Imam Hussein. They all felt the shame in front of Imam Hussein, that they could not do as much for him. Even Abul Fazl al-Abbas felt ashamed in front of Imam Hussein, that Hussein, I could not do as much as I could for you. Everyone felt ashamed. Feeling ashamed in front of Hussein was what everyone did in Karbala. Zainab, Ummeku, everyone felt ashamed that we gave our children. We gave everything. But we still feel that we haven't given much for you. My friends, this is the second lesson to be learned. Being self-conscious in front of the Imam, that Imam, I haven't done as much for you as I should have done. I'm ashamed for what I am in front of you, that I should be doing more for you. Do you have that feeling of shame? This is the second lesson. You need to learn these. These are the lessons that we need to concentrate on. Are you feeling ashamed in front of the Imam of your time? Imam, what kind of a life I'm living? I haven't done much for you. I'm wasting my time. I'm ashamed to be in front of you, to call myself your Shia. This is the lesson to be learned, my friends. These are the lessons that we have to understand. What is it? From that side, yes, we are safe. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give you more tawfiqah that you will never be like the people of Medina or the people of Kufa. Inshallah, you'll be much better than that. But on this side, how much have you pleased Ahlul Bayt? How much have you shown them your loyalty? How much have you shown them that, you know, you are ashamed that you haven't done much for them? Everything we can give, but still, you see, my friends, don't be ashamed of being ashamed, my friends. Understand this much. You know, if Abul Fazl al-Abbas can be ashamed in front of Imam Hussein, then we have given nothing to Imam Hussein yet. We have not given anything to Imam Hussein yet. If he's ashamed that I've given so much, but still I feel ashamed I haven't given much. This is, my friends, this is the lesson. Having that attitude and that feeling, this is what we need to learn. This is what we need to be doing for Imam Hussein. My friends, the lesson of Karbala is that when you want to be, if you want to please Ahlul Bayt, then become so good that Ahlul Bayt will look to you and say, yes, he is one of my Shias. He is a true believer. Become like that, my friends. That is the lesson to learn from Karbala. That is what we need to be learning from Karbala. Many other lessons are there, but inshallah, for another time. You know, we have the day that we passed was the Arba'in of Hussein, to learn these lessons, to know these things, to know ourselves in front of Hussein. You know, to know ourselves in front of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was a personality, my friends. He brought out Karbala. He brought Karbala out in such a way so that this spectacle can be in front of everyone's eyes, so that the truth can have a description, so that the haq can have a scene that people can look at and know what is haq and what is batil, without having to go and read something, but just to describe it. Imam Hussein truly put all these different factors in front of us and asked us to look at it and then get ready for the true promise of Allah, the reappearance of an Imam. That is what we are waiting for. Imam, you have brought us to this level that now we are not the people of Kufa or the people of Medina. It's your azadari that has brought us to this level. Now we know what is making us ready for the Imam. This is that morning that is getting us ready so that we can learn the lessons from it and get ready for the Imam. Because when the Imam comes, we do not want to be ashamed of him and say that, "Ya Imam, we are ashamed that we haven't done that what we should have done, being your Shia and taking your name." My friends, do you know that in this whole universe of human beings, the angels aside, the angels, they already know. The dunya, the things in this world, already knows the position of the Imam. It's the humans who are ignorant of it. Insan who is ignorant of it. Amongst the insan and amongst the different peoples of the world, you are the only one who has a relationship with Imam Zaman, that you take his name. Imagine that you are the ones. And you say Imam Mahdi, and you have a relationship with him, you claim to have a relationship with him. Imagine this, no one of these human beings have a relationship except you Shias. You are the Shia of the Imam. He is looking to you so that you can become such that Zainab can be proud of, and they could feel happy when they hear you. This is, my friends, what you need to learn from Karbala. This is what you need to learn from Karbala. Because when we look back at Karbala, we see that the good ones died. You know, the good ones always die. The good ones always become shaheed. That's the good ones, my friends. The good ones always become shaheed. Allah knows, you know, which water to use to make Islam grow. He uses the best water he can find. the best blood he can find. Those who have become shaheed, really, when we look back at them, we need to look at them and say, you are the best of us, that Allah has chosen you to water his deen. He has chosen you to water his deen. And may we also become like you. That's why when you read the ziyarat of Shuhada'i Karbala, we say, may we also become like you. May we also become like you. This, my friends, let us go to Karbala now. Let us go to Karbala and let us give our condolences to Rasulullah and to Fatima. Let us give our condolences to Ali and to Hassan and the whole of Ahlul Bayt. Let us give our condolences to the Imam of our time for the Arba'een of Hussein. My friends, Arba'een of Hussein, this is the wish of Zainab. The dua that Zainab made, that Hussein, I haven't given you kafan, I could not give you ghusl, I could not even give you a proper burial. Zainab promised, he said, I promise you, brother, I will come back and I will do your Arba'een, and I will do it in a way that everyone will remember. Now you can imagine that when Zainab and the caravan came back to Karbala, you know, millions of people have gone there today to Karbala. And we want you to see, Zainab, that today your Arba'een is being done by millions of people. But Zainab, all these millions are coming to remember that Arba'een which you have done alone. Zainab, when you came to your brother's grave, there were no people around. There was no one giving water to the travelers. There was no one who had sabil to make them, give rest to the travelers and visitors. There was no one to help them. It was a barren desert, and the grave of your brother was there. And when you saw the grave, you came to that grave alone, Zainab. We are still remembering that Arba'een. And today, if we are in the millions, Zainab, we wish that you can be with us, so that when you come here, we can show you that we are all sincere to your brother. That we will not leave your brother. We will not allow your tents to be raided by the enemies. Zainab, Umm Kulsum, Sakina, everyone, when they, Sakina, Umm Farwan, everyone who came to Karbala, when they came to Karbala, they remembered where the tents were. They remembered where Abbas used to stand. They looked at the place where Ali Akbar used to be with the youths. And they used to play around with the youngsters in the Bani Hashim. Everyone looked at their places where they saw their beloved one stand and would smile at them. Ali Akbar smiling at his mother. Qasim smiling at her and his mother. Everyone would be looking at them. And when they came back, those emotions overwhelmed them. And they felt the loneliness. That now, you know, my friends, understand this. If you lose someone, really, when we say that Zainab lost two sons, maybe that understanding is not there. My friend, it's not like, for example, you know, you have, for example, 5 children and you lose one. It is sad and there's grief. But you have 4 others. Zainab only had 2 children. She lost everything in Karbala. Umm Rabab lost everything in Karbala. Ummah Parwa lost everything, all the ladies, they had nothing. Do you think they will hold it back on Ashura? Everything they had, they gave to Hussain. Everything they had, they gave to Hussain. Now when they came back, they're barren. They have no children, no hope of any child. They came back, and when they came back, they knew that this is all that they have, the graves of their waris and the graves of their heirs that are in Karbala. When they came to Karbala, each one of them cried. And they cried, day and night they cried for their beloved ones. And once they cried on their beloved ones, they all got together on Hussein's grave. They cried on Hussein's grave and gave their salam to Hussein, recited the ziyarat of Hussein. And after that, they all stood up as if something overcame them. They all looked at each other, tears were flowing from their eyes, and they knew what they have to do. They all stood up. Zainab led the way. Umm Kulsum followed. All the ladies started running, and they ran, and they went to the river where Abbas's grave was, and they all fell on the grave of Abbas. Abbas. Abbas, where have you been, Abbas? Abbas, where have you been? What can they say to Abbas? To give Abbas more grief than he has, but what can they do? Abbas, you are the refuge that we used to go to. You are the place that everyone looked up to for protection. Abbas, do you know what Kufa and Sham stands for? Do you know what the Bazaar of Kufa and Sham stands for? Do you know what the Darbar of Kufa and Sham stands for? Abbas, wake up, Abbas, and see what your protectees have to go through. Ajarakumullah. Three days passed. In 3 days, they all cried. They all mourned. And after 3 days, Imam Sajjad now gathered the ladies, gathered them together, and I explained to them, it's time to go, each and every one. It's very hard. You need to understand how much time they were in jail. They were not allowed to cry. They were not allowed to mourn. How they were taken away from Karbala, from their beloved ones. How did they see them leaving? What did they go through to this journey? The ropes in their hands, the ridicule of the people, the stoning of the people. What did they went through with all this thing? And to come back in Karbala, and in 3 days you're saying, now let's go. We need to go from here now, and we need to go back home. And Sajjad, each and every lady, he explained to her, it is time to go. Let us go. It is time to go back home. But you know, when he came to Umm Rabab, they say it was very different. When they came to Umm Rabab, he looked at his mother, Umm Rabab, and said, my mother, it is time for us to go now. She said, where, my son? Where are we going? He said, it's time to go home. She said, which home are you talking of, my son? What home? I have no home. My home was Hussein. My home was Sakina. My home was Ali Asghar. Now my home is in Karbala. My home is in Sham. What will I do going back to Medina? There's nothing for me there. The command of the Imam was there, so Umm Rabab and everyone else got ready and they left. They came, my friends, after the journey back home, leaving Karbala was hard. But then, coming to Medina was something else. Coming to Medina was something else. The city that welcomed Rasulullah. This is where Rasulullah is, their grandfather. This is where Fatima al-Zahra is, their mother. This is the place where they had to leave. Everyone knows them here. Every, you know, when you live in a house and you live in a certain neighborhood in a city, every time you leave that place, you're reminded, every place you go reminds you of your memories that you had in this city. Every place you go, everyone who was coming back to Medina, in their heart was that fear that when we go back home, every brick in the house is going to remind them of their beloved one. Every brick in their house is going to remind them of their beloved one. Umm Layla, what is she thinking? That when she goes back home and sees the room that Ali Akbar used to live in, how can she see that room and live? When Rabab will go back home and see the place where Sakina used to sit and see her, how will she live then? How can she live with those memories? Each one was scared. Everyone was scared. Umm Kulsum expressed this fear that was in the heart of every woman who was going there. She said, when they saw Medina, she said, Ya Medina Tajaddi, Lam Takbulini, oh Medina, oh city of my grandfather, do not accept us back. Do not accept us back. No. Imam Sajjad ordered Nu'man, who was heading the Qafila, the caravan, to stop outside of Medina. Then he sent Nu'man, he said, go and tell the people of Medina that the Ahl Bayt of the Prophet are here. Nu'man did as Imam Sajjad said, and he went inside the city of Medina announcing to the people on the streets that the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah are here. Everyone, as soon as the announcements were made, people gathered around. Everyone came around. They all, as he was walking towards the grave of Rasulullah, everyone was on him. Now a big gathering, a big group was following him. People heard from different quarters and the news spread. Everyone was saying, come, come, Ahlul Bayt have come, Ahlul Bayt have come back. And everyone was concerned about their own friends. You know, everyone had their friend who went with Hussein. So the children came and they said, you said Ahlul Bayt are back. They said, yes, Ahlul Bayt are back. Can you tell us if our friend is back? He said, who's your friend? Oh, our friend is Aun and Muhammad. Have they come back? Said, no, Aun and Muhammad are not here. The teenagers came and they said, we want to know if Qasim is here. Our friend is here. He said, no, Qasim is not back. The youth came and asked for Ali Akbar. He said, no, Ali Akbar is not back. Everyone was asking about their friend. And he was walking forward, trying to get through the crowd. And then someone pulled on his shirt. He looked behind to see who is this. And he saw a young child there. He saw a young child. He picked up the child. He said, the child was so beautiful that I was amazed. And that I want a beauty that Allah has created. That it was like a moon shining in the earth. And he looked at the child, and the child, he was so innocent. He said, "What can I do for you, my son?" And he said, "I want to know if my father has come back. If my father is back." He said, "Son, who is your father?" No, man, his heart sank because he knew that no one else is coming back. When the son asked, "Do you know if my father is back?" He said, "Who is your father?" And that little child said, "Abul Fadl al-Abbas." Tears came in the eyes of Noman. How can he tell him that your father has been killed? You are an orphan now. Ajrakumullah, ajrakumullah. May Allah make you all such. Make your feet so firm, and hands so strong, and heart so stern that you will stand with the Imam and under the banner of Imam, and you will fight with the Imam, and you will fight against the enemies alongside the Imam. May Allah give you that tawfiq. My friends, understand this. Now, when everyone came around the grave of Rasulullah, the announcement was made, Imam Sajjad, and with the ladies behind him. This is Medina, this is not Sham. There is hijab on their head. This is Medina, not Sham. There is hijab on their head when they are going inside of Medina. But when they went inside, how can they not cry? How can their hearts not sing? That they have been taken by the Muslims from Kufa to Sham. Now they came back to Medina. Imagine what Zainab is going through in Medina. As all the people who know them welcomed them, they gave way for them. And Imam Sajjad led the way. Imam Sajjad led the way. And then the uncle of Imam Sajjad, Muhammad Hanafiya, he came forward to meet Imam Sajjad. He was unable to see. His eyes were not that good. So he was looking at Sajjad. And he said, because Imam Sajjad, understand this, Imam Sajjad was only 25 years old. He was around 25, 26 years old. When he came back to Medina, he was 26 years old. And at that time, Imam Sajjad, at 26 years old, he was looking very old for his age. His hair had gone white. There were wrinkles on his face. His back has been bent. He aged in 1 year. Someone would age 40 years. How can he not age? When Muhammad Hanafiya saw him, he said, "Old man, do you know a young man in this group?" Ibn Hussein, Ali Ibn Hussein, when Imam Sajjad heard that, he said, "Uncle, don't you recognize your nephew? Don't you recognize your nephew?" He said, "Well, son, what happened to you? Look at this white hair, these wrinkles on your face, this bent back." Imam Sajjad said, "Asham, Asham, Asham." That's it, my friends. That's it. Now the enlightened caravan comes to the grave of Rasulullah. Comes to the grave of Rasulullah. Imam Sajjad gives his salam to Rasulullah. Assalamu alayka ya jaddi ya Rasulullah. Imam Sajjad, after a few words, knows that it is more rightful for my aunt to give the news of Karbala. opens the way for Zainab. Zainab moves forward. All the ladies around her. Zainab, at the grave of Rasulullah. It's As-salamu alayka ya jaddi. Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah, my grandfather, I have brought a gift for you. I have bought a gift for you. She takes out a bloody shirt and says, this is the shirt of Hussain. This is a gift for you. My grandmother, let me tell you, what has your nation done to us? Let me tell you, grandfather, while Hussain was killed, his children were slaughtered. At Shanat, 3 days Thursday, he was slaughtered. Grandfather, I saw him being slaughtered. Grandfather, they took us as prisoners. They took our hijab. They took us from Kufa to Shab. Grandfather, if these men were not around here, I would pull up my sleeve and I'll show you the sign of the group that were tied around here. Thank you.